So I know you've got a lot going on. But remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.
Thank you, Toronto. The live show was amazing. We are still on the road. Los Angeles, we will see you next on November 5th. London, we will see you November 17th. New York, we will see you December 1st. Had a lot of fun in the six. You didn't look too scared. I was happy. You weren't too nervous.
Love the six. Thank you to everybody that came out. I had a great time. And I'm looking forward to coming back to Toronto again to do it soon.
Yes, we have exclusive tour tees available at all the live shows. But if you can't make a show, we have merch available at newroymall.com. Subscribe to our Patreon. And we'll see you guys soon.
You.
New Warrior Mall.
Yeah, we don't say you know what I'm saying. T-Dot says you don't know. We don't say, hey, that's the breaks. We say, yo, so it go. We don't say you get one chance. We say you better rip the show before bottles stop flying and you running for the dough. We talk about cutting and hitting skins. We talk about beat that face. T-Dot to eat your food before y'all cats say grace. Your cats are steady saying word.
So, yes, we are in Canada if you're looking at us or yes. Listening to us. Either or. We are in Canada, in Toronto, back in the lovely city. One of my favorite cities in the world, Rory. I'm sure you would agree with me.
Absolutely.
On that.
I haven't traveled very far internationally, so, yeah. You know, it's a small list. But Toronto, you're right there.
Yeah, Toronto.
Toronto's really high. It's a 30-minute flight. It's great. Food is amazing. People are great.
This city has a special place in my heart.
Because of women?
Oh, well, that's on the list for sure.
I'm sorry, culture. 100%. That's what, it's the culture.
It's the poutine.
It's the culture of Toronto. The pussy. It's the
poutine.
Punani.
It's just
it's the Tim Hortons, eh?
It's the Tim Hortons. Mm. But no, this is I spent a lot of time growing up here in Toronto and in Montreal. I used to come up here pretty much every summer.
Is there a beef between Montreal and Toronto? We're asking the Torontonians in the room right now.
Is that what y'all call? Torontonians?
It's a small beef, but it's not really a beef. It's a little snobby, like it's not like you're so on sight type of shit.
It was French when I walked into the airport though. It was half French, half English.
Yeah.
Do you guys bang French?
There's mad international languages.
No, right? No. It's pretty American, like not American. It's pretty English here. Yeah. Like Montreal's heavy on the French.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe that's why I like Toronto better.
You don't like French people?
No, I just like English.
Okay.
It's the only language I speak.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
a flex. American.
You're from Jersey, New York. Everybody speaks different languages.
In Jersey?
Yeah.
Damn, you've been to his house.
Come on, man. Italian.
It's all English.
Queens is the most diverse county in the entire country.
The world's
still pretty heavy over there.
Yeah. I promise you, you're not going to find no French.
I've never been on the train and read something else
At all, it's not happening. But yeah, so we're in Toronto. We have our show. If you're listening, we have our show tonight. In Toronto.
No.
Oh,
it was yesterday.
Oh shit,
we killed it.
Yeah.
We're listening to this.
Amazing. Show was amazing.
Good job, guys.
Woo! See, look,
the show was crazy. Drake came through.
Yeah.
We did an interview.
Y'all missed it. If y'all didn't come, that's on y'all. Yeah,
Drake opened. It was crazy.
Drake opened, and he previewed some of his next album.
Greg, damn. Fred, Ed, all of them were there too.
Yeah.
We got down to the bottom of who loved who the most.
Charlene, Nadine, Kristen.
Yo, that we talked about that bar.
We
that
did. Was nuts.
And they all send me naked pictures. It's the small things.
It is. I'm laughing at that.
No, listen.
I felt that.
I'm not clowning.
I connected
him
to that.
Because I got that bar. He said it aggressively, but if you break it down, it's the small things that count.
Honestly,
you ever having a bad day and she just send you a nude and it brightens your day?
How many things in the world are greater than opening your phone and seeing attachment one image?
From Pauline.
Oof.
Ooh, when they hit you with like that hidden and you have to like wipe your finger.
Oh, it's like a journey?
Yeah. That's nice. Yeah, it's a sketch.
Album of the year. Just off that line alone.
Stop.
Look at y'all.
That's because you're scared of the six.
Yeah.
I'm in the six.
I know. Now you're saying it's album of the decade.
This is you currently checking in.
Yo, imagine if social media was around when Michael Jackson put out like Thriller.
That's.
Do y'all know the shit that some people would have been telling Michael?
He probably would have fucked.
Do y'all know the shit that
probably would have fucked a lot of our mothers?
No, but listen. Do y'all know the shit that people would have been telling Mike on like. Imagine if podcasting was around when Michael Jackson put out Thriller.
Would you interview Mike?
They probably would have said it was okay. Wasn't like the last album.
Yo, Mike, I mean, I ain't gonna lie. You could have.
I'm
like,
more of a Jackson 5 fan.
Yo, Mike, I ain't gonna lie. You know,
I prefer I'll Be There.
Like, just why you don't get back in your Billie Jean? Like, what?
Can you go Diamond like day one?
Bro, this is, I mean, you know.
You know who would have been the best podcaster of all time? Prince.
I believe
Prince would have doubled as the artist podcaster, and he would have shitted on every single artist on earth.
I believe it. Prince would have been a great podcaster.
Nobody would have been his guest.
No. Oh, what? Who can sit next? He would have held. He would have held the camera.
Yeah, like he would have done everything. You seen the Outkast video, Andre 3000,
with Prince?
Hey y'all,
hey y'all. He plays all the instruments. Yeah,
that would have been Prince.
Okay. That was Prince.
Man in the cameras. He would have looked like Eden with a whole bunch of other shit on. Headphones. What is this called, Eden? What is this little
recorder?
Recorder.
Mm-hmm. Recorder.
Fuck you.
What?
There's an NPC there.
What?
You trying to make some beats? Is that what you want?
Can I get my flowers today? We've been giving you guys a lot of flowers.
For what?
Jada Pinkett Smith is the most toxic woman on planet Earth.
Javaris texted us saying that she wanted her flowers too, but...
I've been suggesting this for how many years now?
A few
years. She is the most evil woman walking the Earth.
So she can't...
And we continue to blame men for all of her horror that she puts on our gender.
So she... You said whore?
Horror.
Yeah.
She's a whore that puts horror. She puts the whore in horror.
I'm calling Jada Pinkett Smith a whore?
Not maybe by physical standards, but by mental standards. That's a whore. That's a mean, evil whore.
Yeah, explain.
What do you mean? What do you mean by that?
She is tricking. I think Will Smith found out that he was divorced like the rest of us today.
No.
I don't think he realized he was separated in 2016.
No. I think they kind of, I can't remember the Red Table Talk verbatim, but I think they kind of, when they sat down in the whole entanglement thing, I think they threw that out there. Like, they weren't together, or it was
they teased like an open situation, yeah. But not so. This is pretty definitive. She said they've been separated.
They teased open. They did not tease completely separated. Don't have me run up to the Oscars and smack the shit out of a comedian for my bestie. It's not
even
his wife. That's a whore. That's a manipulative whore.
Well, she spoke about that.
That's my date to the Oscars.
She said that Chris Rock had reached out to her and asked if he could take her out because he had heard that
they had broken up.
Her and Will were split, and she said no. Like, that's just a rumor. And he was like, oh shit, I'm sorry. Like, he apologized.
Oh, you tried to beat?
Well, yeah, it's Jada Pinkett. She's one of the prettiest women we've ever had in Hollywood, in our culture. Like, why wouldn't he?
And again, whore behavior. If that was post 2016, why is she trying to make Chris Rock look like the bad guy here? Or like he should have been smacked?
I don't think she was trying to make him look like a bad guy, though.
It appeared that way.
I think she
everyone took that and was like, well, he should have been smacked.
No, but why? But she said that he didn't know. She kind of cleared it up like he didn't know. He thought that they were separated.
Mm-hmm. And again,
he's not in the wrong in that.
And if it's post 2016, though, and what did she tell Will? Because we know she lies to Will.
What?
So, you know, Will could have went up on that stage thinking he had the right information, knowing it was after 2016 later.
I just think that, you know, Jada and Will's relationship is not the most I don't want to say the wrong word.
Stable?
I think that because if you think about it, how long has it been before the entanglement episode that we actually saw Jada and Will like
together
when Chris Rock was slapped?
Yeah,
well, that was
after. And no, every award show we see them.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Mm. It's when it's for the red carpet. It's when it's for the
cameras. Yeah, but that's just public appearance stuff. I wouldn't put, you know what I mean? Like, that's.
But
just,
there was stories of Will not being with Jada for years before that, though. Like, he was in Miami doing his thing, shooting movies, and
we're not talking about him. We're talking about Jada.
Yeah,
and all the bullshit she has done. Why do we need another interview? Like, leave us alone. Well, I didn't need more information.
I think that they're she's promoing something, right? Isn't it? It has to be something coming. Is Red Table Talk still
promoting
on Facebook?
The downfall.
No,
of Will.
No, that's everything in terms of Facebook video is done.
So where's the Red Table Talk at?
It's up for sale. They can shop it, yeah. But Facebook Watch doesn't exist.
It's in a dining room that neither of them go into anymore.
But the show that was a big show. So obviously that's something that Jada is trying to continue to do. This interview, who was it with?
Hoda interview. Mm-hmm. Hoda and the Horse on that show.
Hoda and the Horse. So
I feel like even if you don't get along with your ex-wife, husband, ex-partner, ex-boyfriend, girlfriend, you owe them some type of respect and to shut the fuck up about the relationship at some point. Has it not dragged on long enough? Do we really think Jada Smith gives a fuck about Will and his feelings?
Nah.
Or his perception? She has had put him on missions. He looks nuts. But what, all for her to come back and be like, but what I don't know why he did it. I thought it was a skit.
But what did she
say? Because she's been fucking with him mentally for two decades.
Yeah, but what did she say in this interview that
and then anytime Tupac gets brought up, Tupac doesn't even need to get brought up. They talk about Neil Diamond. She's like, what about Tupac? Anytime. But anytime Will comes up, it's like, well, I was fucking someone else. We weren't together. Like, look at the respect level that this woman also has given her life partner.
If they've been separated since 2016, that means for 8 years, she's been doing this press run of just like, slowly,
of course,
dragging Will and just besmirching his namesake for 8 years. If they've been separated, just stop talking about him in that regard.
What was the point of this interview, though? Like, what was Hoda interviewing Jada Pinkett Smith about? Like, what were they talking about? But no, there has to be something. There has to be something. It's a show. I mean, it's a movie.
She's probably doing something. But you know why she was there. And she knew the talking points and she knew what she was going to talk about.
Yeah.
I'm sure maybe she's doing another movie or some shit. But is that really why people tuned in? Is that the headlines for anything?
No.
Of course not.
They want to hear her talk about the split and the separation.
Like, that was like the definition of some woman shit. You do all that, continue on with all this press bullshit, tell Will about Chris Rock just trying to, you know, shoot a shot for a second after you guys split up. Will gets up, smacks the shit out of him for your honor, and you go, I thought it was a skit.
Yo, if I get slapped and somebody says I thought it was a skit.
You have been manipulating and playing mind games with me for so long, and then you see me smack the shit out of somebody for disrespecting you, and you told me that he was trying to shoot a shot, and he's supposed to be my fake industry friend. And then you say, I thought it was a skit. That is the definition of manipulation. Yeah, that woman has been ruining that guy's life.
I don't know about Ruin. He's doing all right.
He's doing pretty okay.
Well,
he's
financially, but his public perception is terrible. Like, no one respects him. We're talking about men, the lack of men in Canada. Who respects Will as a man right now?
Well, I don't think Will probably cares too much about that. I meant like his internal personal feelings.
But I just mean like it's hard to look at Will and be like, she's fucking up like his legacy. That's what annoys me. It's like all this is fucking up how I look at Will Smith.
What? Oh, like, dick forever?
Put it like that. Like,
everything he's doing.
Yeah. Yo, you look at Will crazy now?
Yeah.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
You know, you watch Fresh Prince and you're like, what the fuck?
Nobody gives a fuck about Will Smith, bro. Not like that. Like,
oh, no. I said crazy.
But I'm saying we don't think about Will Smith on our day-to-day. Nobody, who the fuck thinks about Will Smith?
Like you and Jada doesn't interview.
It's not day-to-day.
Yeah, that's what you think about it.
It's not day-to-day.
Shut up.
Yeah, nobody thinks about Will. Nobody really cares. Nobody gives a fuck.
What do you think their kids think of this whole thing?
They probably don't.
They have been privy to information. Jayden, they're adults now.
Jayden is on so many shrooms, he doesn't give a fuck about.
Yeah, he's just riding a bike.
Yeah, it's just shrooms and a good times, good energy. Like, Jayden don't care about none of this shit, man. Talented kid, though. Talented artist.
He thought his dad smacked Osmosis Jones when he was up there. How he was?
Yeah, definitely.
Someone made a remake of that video where it's them as the animals, the animated animals they played. And it was Chris Rock as the zebra from Madagascar. Mm-hmm. And Will Smith as the shark from Shark Tale. And they like this full on animation. They just smack the zebra.
Him. Yeah.
And then the zebra responds in the zebra voice. It's hilarious.
That's fucked up.
It's so funny.
We're never going to get over it.
You not over it?
You over that slap?
Yeah, man. I don't care about that shit.
Do we really believe Jada replied with, no, sorry, Chris. We're not separated.
Yeah. What do you think the reply was?
You think Chris hit that?
No. But I don't think Jada deaded it right away. She doesn't seem like, for the information she's given us, I'm not speculating what she's put out there. She doesn't seem like the woman that straight up says, no, I have a man. Mm. She looks like she actually gives into the question so he doesn't let you have friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then probably like, Chris, stop. Yeah. She seems like that type to me. I'm not saying he hit. But I'm saying there was some chemistry there that made Chris like pursue a little bit more on that question.
Yeah.
I don't think Chris Rock out of nowhere said to Jada, can I take you out? He didn't pick up his phone, cold dial Jada and say, can I take you out? There was an exchange before that Jada is leaving out and Chris went, so can I take you out? And then she was probably like, well, no.
I'm still married.
Yeah.
She left out the beginning of that conversation.
She's like, I'm saving myself for my son's best friend.
But I ain't gonna lie. See, this is why I can't fuck with you though, because you was one of the ones that was saying,
oh, here we go,
mental illness, like his mental health, like August Alsina's mental health.
He was taking advantage of. Yes.
He was taking advantage of.
And Chris Rock just came out as being mentally ill as well. That's her type.
She got a tight. See, I'm on the spectrum. What's up, Jada?
I want to say that August Alsina was acting like Kaiser Sose. It wasn't nothing wrong with him, but he was acting like it was.
That kid.
Just so he could get in the house. Think about it. That's a genius plan. Mm. Like, yo, I'm going through something. My family, you know, like, can I just stay here? Can I crash for a couple
is that, weeks? Is that what you would do?
For Jada? Hell yeah.
I think I saw her at Dumbo House once. And we kept looking at each other. And I was looking at her because I thought it was her. Not, I was like convinced it was her. And we kept staring back and forth at each other.
She was like, is that Julie?
It was weird. Listen, I didn't pursue. I didn't go anywhere.
I don't think I'm a very petty person. But at this point, if I'm Will Smith, I might bail out Keefe D.
That's a sick transition.
What is wrong with
That's what I'm saying. Like, your brain.
It just goes somewhere. Is it the Canadian air?
Like, what's wrong with you?
I'm very sick right now.
Yeah, like, no, you're sick all the time. Like, why would your mind go to that?
You got the Canadian flu.
I mean, she continues to go out and do shit. Like, Will has to get his lick back. When he thought he was getting his lick back, it was all a lie.
Mm-hmm. You could just hit Diddy.
Like, he might have to see what that Keefe bail is.
Yo, relax.
For a fair trial.
Yo, relax. Man. Yo, Julian's gonna get us in trouble.
I didn't hear what he said. So please tell me what he said.
I said you could just hit Diddy. Talk about it.
No, I'm not. I'm leaving that alone. I'm not talking about that. So the BET Awards aired last night.
Hip Hop Awards.
The BET Hip Hop Awards. It was taped last week though. I didn't see it though, and I did want to see Jermaine Dupri's So Def 30-year anniversary tribute. Because obviously JD, that's family. But I always like to see the music we grew up on in the culture when a lot of the artists come back and hit the stage. So I'm mad I missed that. But I want to talk about it because Rory is about to blow a gasket once again.
Again?
Carisha Please won Best Hip Hop Platform.
Yeah,
she won. It's not a split. It wasn't
I'm gonna
a split.
Bail out Keith Eady now.
It wasn't a split.
It's an inside job.
It wasn't a split.
Keeps getting this woman awards.
It wasn't a split between Drink Champs and her this year. This year it was solely
just a clear
Carisha
back to back winner. Has she interviewed anyone since her last award?
No, she's the Steph Curry of podcasting right now.
That's sick.
Yeah, she's back to back.
All hits, no misses.
No, I want you to. Explain.
Yeah, keep going down. Well, she
explained, like, give me the similarities between Steph Curry in basketball and her in media.
Well, everything she touches seems to go in.
Mm. You never know if she's really in a relationship with that person or not.
You don't know. Mm. She's very, you know, for the most part, she's very laid back until the lights come on and the cameras start rolling and it's time to get into her.
That's how you would describe half of the City Girls?
Well, yeah.
And Stephen Curry. Sure.
Most city girls are like that. Like, if you ever met a city girl, they're really calm, like, when it's not, like, turn-up time.
That's true. Until that light on your camera comes out, that's when they turn
up. Yeah, that's when, because it's something about the light on the phone means twerk.
Yeah, we work with Damaris.
True.
City girl.
Similar energy.
City girl.
Listen, man. Has Carisha really done an interview since her last award? Or did they just...
Well, currently on her YouTube page, she has one upcoming that 36 people are waiting for with Ari the Don.
Oh, so they just gave her the award because...
They're anticipating a smash.
Yeah. She, for your consideration, the ET Pop Awards, here is this video.
Yeah.
Got you.
Yes.
All right, man. Come on.
Listen, man.
Because every time I say this, it sounds like I'm hating on Carisha.
You are.
No, I'm not.
Well, why can't you just be happy for
she
her?
She was number 7 with one interview, and now she's won back-to-back BET Awards with 2 interviews?
Yeah.
And 0 this year?
Mm-hmm.
All right. My bad.
Listen, man, I think it's the best hip-hop platform. I just, anytime we get a chance to see Carisha and just listen to her.
Tell me what do you like about her platform?
Oh, man.
Especially the hip-hop part.
She asks the hard-hitting questions.
Mm.
She gets right to it. She's very diverse in who she can sit down with.
Like Steph Curry.
Steph Curry, Aisha Curry, Summer Walker.
Curry Chicken.
Yeah, Curry Chicken.
Curry Goat.
I just think that, you know, she's just fun to watch. She is fun to watch. Her personality. She's gotten better. I've seen some of her, like, clips. She seems to be getting more comfortable. She seems to be getting, like, really settling into that. You almost forget that she is a city girl.
Mm.
For me.
What reminds you?
Wow.
I mean, it's
just the balance, the duality.
Yeah.
No, like, seriously, like, if you didn't
know. Is she a Gemini? She has to be a Gemini.
If you didn't know, like, she was, like, in the City Girls.
You might think that she was the first lady.
You might think that she was
she's Kamala.
She had the best hip-hop platform.
I thought she was Kamala.
Yeah. She has separated herself from that whole, like, you know, City Girl thing. Like,
the name of their album coming out on Friday is Real Ass Whores.
Yeah.
They have an album coming out this
week? It's
Friday?
Called Raw.
Raw.
It's weird because the W, Women, was right there. Like, you didn't have
to. In front of our eyes.
You could have done Real Ass Women.
Yeah.
You didn't have to do a Real Ass Whore.
Nah, but whore is just...
It's a great word.
It's a great word.
Yeah.
Because it can mean so much.
Like what? What can it mean?
You said she was an Aquarius. She's an Aquarius.
Well, I said she was a Gemini.
Duality. Yeah. She's an Aquarius.
She play both sides.
Did you just search that?
Yeah. My Googles are nasty.
That's a nasty
algorithm. That is a nasty Google.
You just searched what's Carisha's Zodiac?
No, I said February 11th Zodiac. That's her birthday.
You know her birthday?
Well, I did this Wikipedia.
I thought you just had that on your brain, like her birthday is February. No, I was about to say, how do you even know that?
She's a city girl.
I asked you 10 seconds ago how to spell Carisha.
I've been picking up the BET Hip Hop Awards for quite some time. I think I'm here to shit on them.
On the BET Hip Hop Awards? Did you see it?
I saw a lot of it. Just get rid of the ciphers at this point. It's getting like disrespectful. I don't know why they got rid of it in the first place. I think that's what separated it from the BET Awards and every other award show. And it's great for YouTube. Like, you don't have to rely on ratings to watch TV. Like, that shit is going to go great on every single platform. It's the ciphers. It's great. They did one cipher with Swizz. Simba was great.
Yeah.
No disrespect to the gentleman from PG. Shout out to PG County.
My dog Foggy World.
He's probably great.
Watch him out.
I'm not saying anything disrespectful.
Yeah.
He's probably great when he's on the type of beats he needs to be on.
Yeah.
He shouldn't be on that Nas beat. And I can't understand a word you're saying. That's not what ciphers are for.
I did see
Cassidy,
that clip.
Underwhelming as fuck. He gave like a 12. Scarlett was cool.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a waste of time. Like, either commit to it or don't.
Do you think that's just, because a lot of rappers turn it down now? I think a lot of rappers are turning down the cipher.
Because who are you going to keep asking BET, every year? They, like, each year quietly get farther away from it. Yeah. So, yeah, this year I would definitely turn it down. But that's because they've ignored it when it was their number one platform. We watched the Hip Hop Awards because of the ciphers.
Absolutely.
And don't even tell me that, Rap Shane, there's not a lot of lyricists. There's plenty of people that, even if they're not lyricists, would do well in the ciphers.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't get it. Why would you get away from the one thing that you can still use on all internet platforms? Fuck TV ratings. Ciphers. That is your thing.
But I think that speaks to
even if they're bad, we could laugh at them. This was just a half-assed, lazy, like, just have Simba rap. just give us a Simba verse.
But I think it's a bigger issue, though, because I was listening to something that I think it was it Juicy J that said hip-hop, like, sales and everything's down about 40%.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. Yeah.
There is a, whether we want to admit it or not, there's a correlation between ticket sales being low, streams being low in rap, hip-hop, the cipher being lackluster now. There is something there, and we do need to pay attention to it, because at this rate, I mean, does hip-hop go from being the number one genre in music to, even if it's number two, that's bad.
I think, like, the way in which, because hip-hop is still such a young genre, the way in which, like, a pop artist, there's a formula that works for pop music. And I think hip-hop is now seeing its formula. And we can get microwave hip-hop, where we can get an artist to make one, sign them on the one song we know we want to own the catalog for, own the rights to that record, and then try an EP, maybe an album if they're good enough to even force that issue, and then just get rid of them. So, like, the way in which, like, pop singers were, like, turned over in that regard, I think we're just seeing that with hip-hop. It's just kind of mimicking the...
Yeah, but the problem,
it's not a fair metric, because the amount of rappers that they're probably comparing that to is to two pop stars, one country singer, one rock. Whereas hip hop can drop so much because it's based off so many other artists and so many metrics that if it takes a slight fall, yeah, you get 40% instead of Taylor Swift versus the Migos not selling as much.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a different game. And I'm sure it's drastically lower in every single genre. I'm sure the pop artists under Taylor Swift, there's a huge gap. Yeah, everything's honest. What Jimmy Iovine just did an interview and said that fame replaced great.
Yeah,
and that's across everything, not just music. Like, it's just fame now. It's attention.
Yeah, but no, it's
impressions.
It's not bad sales. But hip hop is bad in hip hop
on its 50th year too.
It's really bad in hip hop, and you can't make a pop artist, or you can't have a person do a pop record and let it take off the way somebody could mimic a rap hip hop record and it take off.
But it became the number one genre, what, 3 or 4 years ago? It became pop 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
It's the number one genre.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that what Jimmy Iovine is talking about as far as fame replacing greatness happened, hip hop happened to be number one. So it took the fall. Mm-hmm. I think if rock and roll was number one in 2018, 19,
mm-hmm.
it would have this 40% fall as well. I think it's a reflection of the times, not the reflection of hip hop. Do I think the music has suffered? 100%. But I don't think that's really the full scope of it.
Do you think this is a good time for, with music being, hip hop and rap being on the decline it is as far as ticket sales, arenas and numbers and things like that, is this a good time for Drake to step away from recording?
Well, he announced he is. So I think it's smart.
What does it mean for the culture though, in the genre?
I think it's smart on his part in the sense that his output has done more than enough. Take a break.
Way more than enough.
Like, you're good.
Three albums.
You're obviously solidified. We don't need more from you. And I say that respectfully, but also take time to survey the landscape of what hip hop's becoming, because it is changing. And I think by him being away, I don't think him being away means he's going to disappear. I think it's him tapping in and kind of like on the periphery, just looking at the Yachty's and other people that are younger and kind of still creating and are more active in the scene, and just kind of cherry picking qualities and things you want to kind of build for your next sound or whatever that case may be for him. I don't think he'll just disappear, but I think it's smart that he should just take a break from putting out his music.
I think it's great for other artists though. I think it's an opportunity. Obviously, those shoes are not going to be filled in a year or 2 years that he decides to take off. But I think that it forces people to listen to a lot of dope artists, like, you know, a lot of these rappers that have just dropped projects recently, but nobody's really talking about because now, you know, obviously the biggest artists in music drop. But the guys like Rome Streets, Nick Grant, if they get to consistently put out projects every year, and people have to listen to that because there's no big juggernaut like a Drake that's dominating. But you still have these artists and these rappers that are putting out dope projects. Now this gives people opportunity for their careers to kind of take off.
I think it's great for that level of artists. I think it may expose the B-level artists that are now. We've had the conversation a few times that there is no solidified superstar for the next generation. If Drake takes a break, that'll get exposed even more.
Oh, yeah.
I think for the Rome Streets and the Grant, great. I think that's going to be a good time for them. But it can really expose the second level Lil Baby type artists.
Mm.
If they have to dominate an entire year and just that generation is putting music out, the difference will show.
How much longer do you guys think we have until the next rap superstar?
I don't know if we're designed to have one.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
I don't know if the market.
Yo, it's scary.
Unless the market shifts back, like, of course we give Drake, Cole, Kendrick all this credit and they deserve it, but they were also in a sustainable business model at that time to become a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they had to, you know, find their way through where it wasn't radio, and they had a big shift that they had to adapt to. Mm-hmm. So they deserve that credit, but they were still in a model that allowed for a superstar. I don't know if we have one right now. It's fucking weird.
Kendrick doesn't put out, and that's the thing that is to be, you know, they're gonna say I'm sucking cock again, but
ew.
when you talk about just the output of music, whether it's features, whether it's, you know, albums, whatever, that's what Drake has done. Like, Kendrick could give us an album, but then he completely, we don't know what the fuck Kendrick is doing right now.
Every 5 years.
Like, he just goes and disappears and leaves and then comes back with great music and then disappears again. If Drake decides to step away, people are going to really, we're going to feel that gap.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to feel it like, oh shit, like it's really nothing. Because even when this album was announced, we were looking forward to this project because that's the project you look forward to. Like, yo, who's the big dog? What does he have to say? What is he working on? What is he doing? But if he's not there, cool. We get to pay attention to other dope rappers and other dope artists, but there's still that gap. Where it's just like, it doesn't feel like it was like a big year in the genre without the big juggernaut.
Yeah.
Again, Cole is the same, not as much as Kendrick. He doesn't disappear as much as Kendrick, but Cole disappears too. Like, he'll completely just go off the grid.
More frequently.
You'll see him riding his bike up Madison or something like that. But you don't, he's not working on no music. Mm. The fall off is coming. We don't know when that's dropping.
Mm. I think it's supposed to be this year, no?
Maybe 24.
Yeah.
You sound like, I mean, you guys. Even, you sound like, no.
Julian knows what you just did.
I'm not going to say anything.
I know you're not going to say anything, but don't do that. Don't do that. Blink like twice. You got info where you don't want to give me them because you just feel okay. Like.
Not on mic, but yeah, I'll tell you after a little bit.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
Anyways.
I did want to say.
But even when you had like the Nelly MJ's take some time off, you felt it, but it wasn't like hip hop disappeared.
Yeah.
I think that could fucking happen.
No. What?
If Cole Kendrick and Drake take a year off.
Yeah. No.
I thought you meant just Drake. I was like,
weird. That's a lot. Obviously,
well, no,
yes.
But that's the thing.
But I'm saying, I'm sure there was a year where we didn't get a Nelly J project or an MJ, like, out of those three.
Mm-hmm.
And it we didn't feel it the same way. Still got a great Ludacris album. There was still plenty of shit going on.
Yeah.
Got a great T.I. album. Like, Jeezy. I don't think we're going to feel that way anymore. Maybe I'm being pessimistic. I just think if they are gone, all three of them, for a whole year, it would be a very odd feeling and probably the first, like, absent year of hip-hop.
You mean no releases, no features? No,
I'm sure great music will come out. That's what he's saying.
No, I'm saying, like,
there will be great music, but it won't feel like a dominant hip-hop year. And I don't think that's happened in quite some time.
They were all nominated, the three we're talking about, Cole, Kendrick, and Drake, for Hip Hop Artist of the Year at the BET Hip Hop Awards, and Kendrick won.
Best Hip Hop Artist?
Yeah. Artist of the Year. And the Her Loss Project won Album of the Year. So.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Who else was nominated?
I'm not mad at it, though.
I'm not mad at it, but I would like to know who else was there, though. Who else was?
Let's see. Glorilla. Jesus, not very difficult competition. Glorilla, Coi Leray.
Wait. Glorilla put an album out?
Yeah. Anyways, Life's Great. Glorilla, yeah. Coi Leray's album. God Did. That's still somehow.
Coi Leray's album was nominated for album.
Didn't God Did come out in 2002?
God Did.
Yeah, I don't know how that keeps happening.
Wait. Coi Leray's album got nominated for Hip Hop Album of the Year?
Yeah. And
didn't that sell like 5,000?
Two.
God Did was August 2022.
How was that nominated for Hip Hop Album of the Year?
Because the labels give favors?
By this metric, Rory, you should have been.
Dead ass.
Not even as a joke. I mean,
bro, no. She sold 2,000 units.
The same way Glorilla got to do that awful single to open the Hip Hop Awards. It's labels, label favor.
Coi was June.
Hip Hop is in trouble, man.
Viacom, Universal, Friendships. That's all it takes.
Hip Hop. So this might have been a different project, but this project, Coi, sold approximately 10,000 units.
Coi came on June.
My bad. I misspoke.
How was that nominated for Hip Hop Album of the Year?
Because 10,000 people.
Because she's very popular on TikTok. And
I like Coi Leray.
She has fame.
I like Coi Leray. I think she's dope. I like her personality. I like she's like just herself. She's not trying to be nobody else. I love that. But to be nominated for Hip Hop Album of the Year, like, come on, man. Like,
it's not the Source Awards, so you don't understand it.
Mm, exactly.
I'll finish the rest of these real quick. God Did, Heroes and Villains, Metro, Jackman, Jack Harlow, The Pink Tape, Uzi, and Traumazine from Meg. And Her Loss was the winner.
I get it.
Metro or Her Loss.
Yeah, Metro or Her Loss.
God Did?
I don't know why that keeps happening.
But that's not an album, is it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. The album, the title track and the album are called God Did.
God Did, yeah.
Staying Alive.
Crazy song.
That was the song of the decade.
Staying Alive. You know,
that's what saved the environment. Not the environment.
You remember the first thing.
The culture.
Yo, y'all not scared for the cult, like for hip hop though?
Is a little bit, yeah. I am.
I just think it's funny that Khaled can get Drake records off the clearance rack and still get nominated for everything.
And he has two more songs on his next album coming, right?
That was
he
funny.
Walked out with the Billboard.
That was a cool promo.
That was dope. The promo. No, Khaled is. Listen, he's a genius at marketing. He's a genius at promoting all of those things. I just think that his albums, it's just something about his albums that you just never go back to.
Back, back to sounding like a hater. Do we really want the two Drake records that Khaled has? He put out over 60. Has put out over 60 records in 2 years. And we know there was a lot of throwaways on some of the stuff he's been putting out recently. What two throwaways do you think Khaled has? Do we need both of them?
I don't think they're both going to be throwaways.
Because he put two on that God Did shit and the Drake, was the Drake intro or outro? It was like a snippet of Drake harmonizing in the studio. And
Wasn't
it like a voicemail?
Yes, wow. It was like, do I really want the Drake records that are on this Khaled project?
You would hope if he's holding that big ass sign up.
And is there going to be a new formula?
Nah.
No.
It's going to sound like hating again, because I think Khaled has great albums.
You're not
hating. The last
few
have fucking stunk because he's sticking to the same formula of trying to pair the biggest artist at the time on whatever terrible beat, and they just walk in for 5 minutes, give him half a verse, and he markets it better than anyone, and then we listen to the album for half a day, and it's done.
Who's quietly putting out a better version of that with the same artist is Calvin Harris. Those Funk Bounce albums are incredible.
Oh, fire.
That's a very unfair comparison.
Calvin Harris does that perfectly. They're doing the same thing.
Yeah, but yeah, no, you're talking about Calvin Harris.
Yeah, like, it's a, yeah. All right, fine. He's actually doing something with the music. Yeah,
not
fine.
Even just that, but it's like Calvin it's Harris way is different.
It's a different.
But I'm saying like they're pulling from the same artist.
Yeah, but Calvin Harris is different. Is what you're missing.
Yeah, they're different people, but the
no, it's not just
type of projects are the people. Same.
Yeah,
there's no, we know that.
I've never seen him. In
we
the
know
same
they're
room.
Israel and Palestine. No, but.
Yeah. Oh my God!
Too soon. Right. My bad. But that's a drastically different comparison with Calvin Harris and his career and what he does with music and artists and what
and DJ Khaled.
Khaled does. And I'm not hating on Cal; they're just different artists.
I saw Vlad say something about why Drake and Khaled have not spoken on the situation in the Gaza Strip, like why they haven't spoken on anything, they haven't said anything, they haven't, you know, just no mention of it at all. Drake being Jewish and Khaled being Palestinian.
Yeah, he's Palestinian. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that? And he said something about this is what makes artists like Tupac great, because you know damn well Tupac would have said something if something like this hit so close to home.
Also, that's a Calvin Harris, DJ Khaled comparison as well. So Tupac hitting the ground on everything that he did, and that was part of his entire existence, his background. Is he was an artist second compared to that.
Mm-hmm.
Vlad is saying the difference is maybe the IG post. Like, we want right. DJ Khaled, we want Khaled to go to the Gaza Strip. Like, what does Vlad want? Vlad wants an IG post from him and then wants to put Tupac in the same sentence?
No, I don't think that's...
as far
I don't
as
think
being an activist?
I don't think that's what he meant. I think he... He's just saying, like, y'all have to say something.
Like, acknowledgement.
Yeah, but Drake's always played, like, okay, the Michael Jordan card in that regard. Why? He's played just very... Remember, what did Michael say when you never spoke out about black issues? Republicans buy sneakers, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Drake, that's been Drake's... He's a chameleon. He forms to whatever matters. So I'm saying it within music. He can be the Jamaican for a month. He can speak Arabic when he wants
Jamaican
to.
Jamaican for a month?
I mean, we've seen him do these things. He's like been, he's not.
Tom you know be a Jamaican for a month.
He was Jamaican for a month.
It was a great month.
It was a great month.
It was a couple months. It was a great summer. More life at it. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Come on. Do it again.
Great time.
Re-up.
Yeah.
No, so like we can see him play that in the music. And I think that's he's safe playing it when it's positive for the outcome of his music career. But it's a risk to dip into something politically. Mia Khalifa lost her Pornhub sponsorship.
Yeah, she lost her podcast
for speaking about the Palestine.
Yeah, but she but she didn't. It's not because she spoke
it was different,
about it.
Yes,
she said some. She was like, "Yo, can y'all turn y'all phones horizontal? Like,
that, so we no, can get was, a better." That was crazy.
She said it was fucking crazy.
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying there are consequences if you even insert yourself into a conflict.
Yeah.
So he plays it the way Michael did. Just play it safe. Mm-hmm. Just don't even address it.
Mm-hmm.
Just do what people want from you, which is music.
But you don't think that somebody as big as an artist like a Drake or a Khaled, you don't think that it's there. It's almost like they have to do that.
They have a responsibility. But you can't win for losing in either side that you post about on Instagram with this. And
I'm not saying they have to take a side. I'm just saying something like, yo, let's pray for peace. Like whatever we need to do to kind of resolve this. Just something.
That's so empty.
Yeah.
To me, like,
I'm not saying they got to pick a side. I'm not saying they have to say.
You kind of forced to. You got it.
Yeah. I think that's why they don't do it, because they know that people are trying to force them to like.
But also like, do we think the horrible things that are happening in Israel and the Gaza Strip specifically right now are really concerned if Drake or DJ Khaled posts on Instagram?
They're not concerned.
This is such a Western.
It's like the Ja Rule
bullshit.
Like from
Jason. Even that's why, like, you know, I've not been quiet amongst my inner circle or people I care about or people that have opinions on both sides. This is something I haven't stopped talking about for over a week. But I didn't want to come on here to argue semantics, because all I see on my timeline is people trying to one up each other on who can give the history of Israel versus Palestine better.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck is that helping?
Yeah.
You're literally just on the internet trying to look more morally sound than the next person, or try to correct someone's grammar or some part of history. Like, what are we really contributing right now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe we should just shut up for a second. Because all we're doing is contributing to misinformation and arguing while we sit in America while that is happening over there.
I do think that, you know, I can understand.
Have I checked on my Jewish friends? Yes. Have I checked on my Palestinian friends? Yes. Who have family over there? Of course. me talking about it on the internet or posting something, contributes nothing to what's going on over there.
And it's always
like,
weird.
To think that's such a fucking arrogant American thing to think. To force someone to have to say something on IG and think that's really helping the situation. You are so fucking conceited into yourself that those, do you think those people give a fuck what Rory and Moll on the microphone are saying?
No,
they don't. People in America, so they can feel better about themselves, about something that they will never go even try to help out with.
But what you're missing is a lot of their supporters and a lot of the people that, you know, stream their music and are fans of theirs. These are people who have family there. These are people who are from there. So when somebody like Vlad says that, what he's saying is a lot of your supporters are from these places because of your lineage and your connection to this part of the world. Like, this is why they support you. So in a time like this, to not say anything is a little fucked up.
We don't know what Khaled or Drake have done behind the scenes as far as actually making change.
That's a fact.
Yeah. So to say, all right, let's go with Khaled specifically. He is of Palestinian descent. We also know there is a difference between Palestinians and the terrorist group that is happening.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to get into the particulars or my opinion on it. They have no electricity. So if Khaled is doing something behind the scenes to help, he doesn't need to post on Instagram 100%. For people that don't have electricity.
Mm-hmm.
They can't open IG right now.
Right.
So everyone that's being activists on your timeline, I get it. You're amazing. You're better than me. You're awesome. You're great. They can't see it.
Yeah.
They don't have power.
Mm-hmm.
So leave everyone else that does want to be quiet about it and maybe help in their own way within their own circles or try to find to learn more, educate themselves more before running out a window to talk about a topic they don't fully understand, the fuck alone. Leave us alone. You guys are awesome. You guys are way more morally sound than us. You tweet all day. Leave us alone. Like, just leave us the fuck alone.
If you're doing something behind the scenes, I'm always a fan of that. Like, I don't think that, you know, you have to announce everything. Everything doesn't have to be an announcement, but if these gentlemen are actively, like, trying to, like, send aid and help in any way that they can behind the scenes, quietly, without posting on social media, then that's beautiful. I'm all for that. I like that type of thing because you're showing that this is not for, you know, clout or any of this other corny shit. This is not so that people know that I'm doing this. I'm really concerned and we, you know, innocent people are dying. Babies are dying. So if an artist is literally helping behind the scenes, then it doesn't have to be posted.
And I know it's the cardinal sin on activist Twitter to say, hey, I'd like to learn more about this. I'd like to educate myself more about this. You get attacked. You get killed.
Why?
You say, oh, you want to learn.
But why?
Because you should already know. Like,
man,
you should already
come
know.
Come on.
You can't educate yourself.
Read
a
book.
You can't ask questions. You can't do anything.
You're supposed to be born with this knowledge, Rory. 3% of you has this knowledge flowing through your veins.
Yeah.
So
I heard you were giving 3% of your pay in efforts of relief and aid.
My ties?
Yeah.
I'm so proud of you, Roy.
Your ties. They said Floyd sent a jet over there with like...
Yeah. For like supplies and shit.
Who?
That's illegal.
Floyd Mayweather.
All right. I'm calling Cap. That's illegal. You can't even have Kevlar in the United States. And where did Floyd get a bunch of legal bulletproof vests to fly to Israel?
Not bulletproof
vests. No, supplies, bro.
I saw bulletproof vests. See?
Loaded up his private jet.
Maybe he's not fucking.
I thought Rocky wrote on his Instagram.
Yo, loading up your jet with Kevlar? Are you sending it in?
He's right. He's right. Mayweather. It sounds crazy, though. We'll be stocked with supplies with everything from food and water to bulletproof vests.
They're illegal in the United States.
That's
where
wild.
Did Floyd get a bunch of...
Yo, Floyd is loading up his jet with bulletproof vests.
He tapped the homies at January 6th. They were all rocking vests.
Yeah, but they didn't get them on a jet loaded by Floyd Mayweather.
They probably got the vests when they got recalled. Hit the commissary and was like, give me all that shit that they got down there.
Floyd, one of the best boxers of all time. Do you think he's taking a private jet from the United States with Kevlar landing in a war zone?
Let me let you understand something.
In the most secure border period right now.
Somebody that's not on that jet is Floyd Mayweather. He's not on that fucking jet. Hell no.
But
he's not going.
I say all this to say to activist Twitter, when we ask questions where we want to learn more, because we're hit with so much misinformation every day that before I decide, like on a side that I want to pick that doesn't really matter at the end of the day.
Yeah.
yeah, I need more information. I'm hit with so much false info every day of my fucking life that I'm going to take some time to do some research. Mm. I know that's a sin on Twitter.
Also,
but yeah, I don't have an opinion yet because you guys give me false information, propaganda, bullshit every single day. Do I think innocent people should be killed? No, on either side. And that's where I stand.
Right.
Two things. One, you can order body armor in the U.S.
Shut up, man.
Just not in New York. Two, suck my dick. Three.
He's in Nevada. Right? So yeah. All right,
okay. Two, did you guys see that Elon Musk is making his chargers free as well?
What? His what?
Yeah,
his chargers. Tesla's like, the Tesla charger stations are just going to be free in Israel. Free to use.
Yeah.
Mall, react.
They're bombing everything. Like,
you know, I know. Cars I understand.
Yeah, but you can charge your car.
Listen, man.
He said that on that Twitter X, somebody. Whatever.
I don't know what that does over there. I mean, I'm just seeing entire cities being leveled right now. I don't know what a charger station is doing, but okay.
Yep.
Thanks, Elon. The fuck is that?
That's where we're at. But that's where we're at.
I see why Drake ain't saying nothing, man.
That's
what, yes.
But that's the point.
Yes.
But that's the point.
Yo, you know how much misinformation I can pull up within one flick of my thumb on X right now? That Elon runs.
On my ex right now.
But
you feel me?
That's but he's a bar. Focused on making that's sure chargers are free in Israel. No, how about we sift through this misinformation on the app that you're running? What I feel like Maul actually has to be vocal about on socials is whether he stands with DJ Envy, Caesar, or the victims.
Mm.
How come you haven't been vocal about that? Of all the victims of Paterson, New Jersey, you've been very... oddly quiet.
Yeah. Oddly quiet on this topic.
On something you have nothing to do with.
I have nothing to do with this shit.
So Envy and Caesar ended up on, I think it's just the local news.
I feel like I've been hearing about this shit every day for the past two months.
It's been going on for almost 4 months, but they were on the news. Well, at least Caesar's wife was, and they explained the entire situation. And then Envy actually addressed it, I think was kind of forced to. On the Breakfast Club on Wednesday morning. And I'm not going to say he danced because he is in, you know, litigation and is being sued. So there's only so much you can say.
Right.
But Envy was like, listen, I lost money from Caesar as well. No one can say they ever gave me a single dollar. And I have to give it to Charlamagne. He did give Envy some pushback. All the victims on the news said they were introduced to Caesar through you promoting it on the Breakfast Club, through you doing the seminars. They paid for all this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Even on the news report, victims were like, I thought this was legit because I heard it on Power 105.
Right.
Like, no, I didn't think this would be a scam. It's iHeartMedia.
Yeah.
I think this could get a little crazier for Envy than we thought. I don't know if they'll have actual proof of him taking money and scamming people, even though Caesar was his partner. I don't know what they had an LLC together. I don't know the details there. But just from an iHeart perspective, that looks kind of crazy. Because you were basically using iHeartMedia to give a commercial for a scam.
Is iHeart
which
liable?
I don't know if they're liable per se. I'm sure they have some clause because they're one of the biggest media companies on planet Earth that says anything that's said here, we have nothing to do with. But
remember when
there could be a case.
Remember when Kim Kardashian posted that thing on Instagram and then the company was like some Coinbase, some Bitcoin scam? And they gave her a stupid bag to post this thing. And then it turns out she was held liable for promoting a fraudulent operation. Is this not?
But similar? A little different when you're, you know, yes. iHeart is like
it's
the Illuminati.
A bigger media company. Yeah.
Like, yes, but
like iHeart was on the Mayflower.
Similar strategy.
Like they're not just like
iHeart was on the Mayflower.
They're a little different. The roots run deep with iHeart.
I understand they have more like pull in the media space and influence, but the strategy is the same. You're going after the face of something that you know people trust and behind a brand that people trust, and you're using them to push bullshit.
Well, so see, some of the victims that were on the news, you know, some which were the most unfortunate, were giving like, you know, the only $100,000 they had to invest because they thought they were going to flip it.
Mm-hmm.
But there was also some people that were millionaires that gave up some bread and are doing fine, but they lost $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the people I'd be scared of because I think they're going to try to sue Caesar and Envy first, and whatever the result of that is, may put iHeart on the hook after that.
Yeah.
Because if you win the case against Envy, then I think you have a case with iHeart. They lose against Envy and just Caesar, then I don't think you have a
case.
But
you know, iHeart is not, they have something in the fine print somewhere.
You have to.
And, yeah. And we don't talk about the fine print enough, because how can you, you can go in there
no
and throw
one reads
something.
That shit.
You could go in there and throw something in the fine print, like, oh shit, they're coming for us, and just put something in there that we never knew was there. Not, nobody reads that shit when they say accept all of this. I've never read all of this.
We're supposed to have a copy.
If you look never. At some of the things Charlamagne has said, I don't know if real estate scam is that high on the list. Like, Charlamagne has iHeart on the hook for real. If real estate scam is where you draw the line,
mm-hmm.
I think every artist in the 2000s could sue Charlamagne and iHeart as far as defamation.
I do think that Envy will end up losing his job.
I think so too.
At the Breakfast Club. I think they'll do it in a way where Envy steps down. I don't think they'll announce that they let him go. I think they'll just tell him, like, bro, you're going to have to step down.
Mm,
I definitely see that. I see that happening for sure. Because at this point, it's too many people. It's too many lawsuits coming in. And you actively were bringing this gentleman up there on the radio station.
Promoting.
You were shooting content with him. Y'all shared the same office space. That was your business partner. Like, now, granted, you may not know he was doing something dirty. But at the same time, that falls on you, because y'all business partners and y'all are walking around promoting this business together. There's plenty of footage. Plenty of times he was up at the Breakfast Club. So I definitely see Envy having to step down from the Breakfast Club.
As soon as it affects an advertiser, and I'm sure that's what iHeart is waiting for to make it the easy clip, is if one advertiser is like, I don't think we want to do syndication with Breakfast Club because looks like your man is in some heat.
Yeah,
then they have the easy way to say, Envy, you should just leave. But if that doesn't happen, I agree. They are going to find that. Have you ever seen Knocked Up when she's like a pundit on like a E! News thing?
Yeah.
And they're like, we're not telling you to lose weight. We can't legally do that.
I love that movie.
But step on a scale and look at that number and like make it 10 pounds less.
Yeah.
So you want me to lose weight? No, just look at that number.
And make it.
So I think they'll do that with Envy, and Envy will be like, hey, lots going on. I want to focus on my family. Yeah. I've had a good run.
Yeah.
It's time for me to do other stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'll do one of those.
I want to focus on my community, my family.
Right.
Being a better person.
Israel Palestine.
That type, you know, you know how they like to do it.
Priorities.
Exactly.
My Tesla charging station.
Exactly.
Yo, I don't blame this one on Vlad, but sometimes timing is just hilarious. Why did Envy show off all his $10 million car collection the day that broke?
Yes.
You know why?
Vlad does interviews and
it's like the Drake curse.
And Envy went and did a whole look at how fucking rich I am content piece with DJ Vlad the week that he was on the hook for fraud.
Yeah.
And I think the news said it's a $40 million Ponzi scheme.
Damn.
You know where the money's at? It's in those cars. It's in those cars.
He's showing you. He's like, this is where I embezzle all the money.
Yeah, yo, exactly. That dude, Caesar, was wild. Some of those houses he didn't even own.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know how wild? There was three different investors on one rundown house in Patterson. Each put in over 200K. Caesar didn't own the house.
It's like Billy McFarlane.
How fucking crazy is that?
Bro, but how do you do something like that for so long and like without it going like notice, like without somebody saying, yo, hold up. Like, I think after the first two, wouldn't somebody be like, yo,
how many years were they doing that?
Wow.
It was a few years.
Definitely.
And how many years were they doing it? And then how many years was it before Envy was promoting it on the radio station?
Can't be too far I'm away. Not sure about that, but I know that the dude Caesar was doing that shit on his own at one point. And I think he brought Envy in as a business partner, used his celebrity status to kind of make it legit, put him on a radio station.
Yo, seminars together.
We rebuilding a community. Let's show people how they can get to this money and real estate and things like that.
Over 7 years. Easy.
Yeah,
because I'm thinking like there's always that thing with these kind of schemes where you're obviously doing well financially, you're comfortable, but then enough is never enough. And then you're like, what else can we leverage to make this bigger than what it currently is?
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when you start. The more you open it up, the more vulnerable it gets to falling apart.
Right.
And I think Envy just parading this on a public radio station every morning is when it just, that's a ticking time bomb at that point.
He flew too close to the sun.
They said the Caesar dude was paying people back. He was sending them his jewelry.
Yeah.
What?
Sending his chains.
There was a gentleman that worked on Envy's cars in Lodi, New Jersey. He had like a mechanic shop. And he was working on Envy's cars for over a decade. Envy gave him the pitch. Caesar took the bread. Couldn't pay him back and was like, yo, hold this chain till I pay you back.
That's sick, man. And it's fucked up because a lot of people really jumped into that lane thinking that they were going to be able to flip their money. and probably gave their last, their savings, thinking that, yo, I'm getting into the real estate game. And now they're fucked out of money and possibly can't pay their current bills. So it's fuck. That scam and shit, man, I've never been a fan of scams and schemes, because you never know what people really have going on in their life. And people really use you or use something that you're teaching them as a last ditch effort to kind of change their lives financially and get into a better space. And then you do something like that where you steal from them and take their money. And people are like now having to move in with their parents. People have to move in fucking, you know, from a house to a fucking apartment. Yeah. Like, it's just, it's fucked up, man.
You know what I do think actually did happen? And I'm speculating. I think Caesar probably did go into that business legitimate and probably did a few good deals. Met Envy, got a lot of promo and a lot of money, and was in over his head and his expertise. I think he just got way over his head and started paying off investors with other investors' money.
Of course.
Like, he just, I don't think he went in there intentionally trying to scam people, but he sold too much bullshit. Like, people believed him because he was on Breakfast Club.
Yeah, but.
And no, at that point, you just gotta be like, no, I can't take this on.
But you get to a point where you have to say, all right.
He started believing his own bullshit.
Yeah, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
When you start believing the bullshit, like, oh shit, this is working. Like, I'm getting away with the shit. But now you look up and it's like everybody's at your door, like, yo, what's up with that money you said was coming in 4 months, 5 months? It's been a year. I don't have anything.
I think he probably fucked up on one deal, couldn't pay the dude back, got some money from another dude, robbed Peter to pay Paul,
mm-hmm.
and it worked. And then 7 years later, he's at 40 million thinking like, oh, it's going to continue to work.
I know one thing. Tony the Closer has been motherfucking reporting on this shit every hour on the hour. He's not letting up. Tony's not letting up.
I mean, I don't blame him though. Like, You scam hardworking people.
Bro, like, I'm 100% with it. Like, when you scam people and people are exposing you for being a scammer, I'm 100% with that. Except if you have hookup on Polo. Like, then I'll support the scammers when they're
scamming
Polo. Yeah. I'm supporting that.
But that's a weird position for Envy to be in. And Charlamagne started that segment with saying, yo, shut up. Your lawyer told you to shut up, so shut up. And Envy's like, no, I feel like I have to say something. But you can't.
Do you think iHeart made him say something?
No.
No, I think he was just trying to
I think his own ego and his own IG comments made him say something, or his wife made him say something, or somebody in his circle made him say something, not realizing that, and I'm not a lawyer, but if he apologizes, I know, I hate to break it to you. look at all my past deals.
Can't read
it. Clearly, I'm a lawyer. clearly, I have it all figured out with contracts.
Yeah.
But you can't apologize for it on the air, because then it makes you fucking liable.
Yeah.
That's why you have to shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
So Envy couldn't apologize to all these people for introducing them to Caesar. He just kept saying, I didn't take any money. I didn't take any money. And he just looked more guilty.
Yeah.
Instead of taking accountability and being like, yo, I'm sorry I introduced you to a scammer. But you can't say that on the air, because that gets brought up in court.
Mm-hmm.
And now, okay, so you're part of this? You're admitting that you introduced all these people to Caesar? Oh, bet. All right. We're suing you as well.
I see Envy stepping down soon.
Yeah, he has to.
I see it.
He has to.
And if there's a way where he can step down and not be held liable, I don't think those two things would correlate. I think you can step down and get like the fair treatment from iHeart that you think you deserve, but then also still be fucked in the other regard.
So that does that mean the Breakfast Club is
No, they'll get another guest host again.
Who would you like to see in that seat? And why is it you?
Does it have to be another DJ?
I would love to see that.
Maul, Charlamagne, and Jess Hilarious, out of here. I'm not joking either.
Yeah, I think that'd be great.
First of all, don't say out of here.
Don't. The sky's the limit.
Yeah.
No. Me and Charlamagne on
Jess Hilarious
together, though, and Jess, that would be interesting.
Ed would be like your ghost DJ.
But I think
yikes.
Juanito.
I've heard his mix.
Would you sit in the king seats that they sit in?
No, that is so nasty. that king seat, that throne.
That is I'm not a fan of
that. That is,
and this is why I don't want to clown them, because I don't think that was Charlemagne or Envy's idea.
Oh, it's a rebrand.
I think that was iHeart dumbass corporate.
Okay, no,
it
bullshit,
was like 10
bullshit,
years.
You know, a bunch of white producer, people in a conference room was like, it was we should 10 put years. They're the kings of radio.
I think that as a producer, as many, how many times have I come to you guys with an idea and you're both like, shut the fuck up? That's terrible.
A lot.
You ultimately have
we don't
the authority
work for iHeart. We work
but
for
I'm
us.
Saying, you have the authority to say no.
That's the difference.
Nah, but like, you're iHeart.
They probably showed up to, and I'm not shitting on Envy and Charlamagne. I'm not doing the Dame thing that you work somewhere. I think it's fine that you guys have a great job. You're radio legends.
Yeah.
I think they walked in on that rebrand when Angela went to the other room, walked in that morning, and there was fucking
the slight though. No,
Stones right there.
The slight.
You said Angela took a left, they took a right.
Yeah. Is that not what happened?
It is, but like, you didn't have to put that in there.
Why didn't they give Angela the throne?
The throne?
Do we think that Angela Yee knew this was great to happen with
No.
With Envy? And
well, maybe, but I don't think it's part of the decision.
Yeah, to Rory's point. I think her situation was independent of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was time.
Y'all don't think it's weird that Angela and Charlamagne never got involved in DJ Envy's real estate business?
I mean, that's a good point.
That should tell that's you a good something point. Even more.
No, but that might just be, you know how one of your friends come at you with something like, yo, I got this. And you just like, no.
Nah, I'm good. Yeah.
Like, I don't know if they knew, but it's just like, I'm cool. I'm not trying to really get
because into they
game.
Probably didn't think it. Well, if you came to me with the success rate that it was perceived between Envy and Caesar, I would 100% take my money and give it to you.
Okay. I'm going to come up. I'm glad you said
No. But I'm telling you, I think they just heard the pitch and was like, nah.
I think they saw Caesar and was like,
nah.
Something about him. I don't know, man. I don't like him. His eyes. I don't like his eyes.
And listen.
Something about his eyes. I don't like it.
It's crazy to get $40 million off like four houses in Patterson.
Yeah.
What's my man's name from Wall Street that did the Ponzi scheme?
Jordan Belfort?
Yeah.
The main guy. He invented the Ponzi scheme. Robert De Niro played him on the HBO thing. Bernie son killed himself. Yeah, Madoff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Caesar Bernie Madoff.
Caesar Madoff.
Bernie did that in Wall Street. Like, what
Caesar Madoff?
Caesar might be a legend for doing that in Patterson.
Definitely. His lie was he convinced investors they would get 40 to 50% return within 90 days. That was his classic.
You know what I'm saying? Somebody tell you that and you don't.
You're going to bite.
You're like, I'm going to throw all my money into that.
Listen, I did it with Loyon. I got my money back.
Well, yeah, but we can trust
Loyon.
Loyon from the Bronx.
But that's why I'm saying, like, Loyon pitches to me and it seemed legit and it was. I got my money back. Mm-hmm. I'm saying when Envy walked in that room to Angela and Charlamagne, I want to know what in his pitch that Angela and like, Charlamagne, who don't like each other, looked at each other and were like, nah.
This one
I'm cool.
Yeah.
No fucking way.
Well.
All right. Well, do we have a voicemail?
You've got mail.
Yeah,
we do. So we obviously have a Patreon. This was a topic that we had on Patreon. Maul asked a question about Martin Scorsese and why he's never
worked with Denzel Washington
or really any major black actor.
Yeah.
So we discussed the history of his films and the reasoning behind those things. So we had a caller call in specifically about that question. So
also unfair though, because he worked with Samuel Jackson for like two frames and then he got murdered.
That's a fact.
Yeah. There's Samuel said, yeah, what time is it? He got his head blown off.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Time to die. No, Tommy came in and said, I thought she was in here with one of your bitches.
Yeah, he said, yeah, where the hell she went?
Where she went?
All right, let's hear it.
All right, here you go.
What up, Delph? I'm going to get right to it because I was listening to y'all podcast on the Patreon, and Rory and y'all bring up a good idea about Martin Scorsese not picking black actors for his movie. You know, you go from Goodfellas on down to Irishman. Not one lick of black in none of his roles. But one fun fact that I thought Damaris Amal would probably bring up in the conversation was that he was director for the Bad music video for Michael Jackson. Not sure if that holds him exempt.
No.
Because Mike probably did pay for
it. Mike paid for some white writers,
you know, underscore Stacey to make the plot line for the video. You know, just a little fun fact because, you know, I know y'all some Michael Jackson advocates just like me. You know,
for sure.
I still ain't get around to my voicemail because I really want to know what y'all top five Michael Jackson song. Peace, Michigan and House.
Can we do three?
Top five Michael Jackson songs?
Also by the Bad video, that was full Vitiligo, Mike, right?
No, yeah. Not full. He was starting
to light up a little bit.
Yeah, he was starting
by
Bad?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
He was full.
He had some salt.
So I don't know if we can give Scorsese that.
I just think it's interesting. Like I said, Martin Scorsese, one of the greatest directors ever. Denzel Washington, one of the greatest actors ever. I just thought feel like it's odd that they haven't worked on anything together.
It'd be like that sometimes.
Like that's just to me. I don't know. And then you notice that, and you're like, wait. It's not many black people in none of Scorsese's films either. But
do you think just doing the Bad video is enough to forgive? No, nope.
Definitely okay. Not.
No, nope.
<All right. laughs> one music video.
No,
I mean it's a good music video. But
great music video.
It's not.
But no, that's not enough.
Okay, what what type of black film would you like Scorsese to direct?
I just feel like in all of these movies,
what are you trying to say here?
Dolomite.
I'm asking a legitimate question because we know
Dolomite.
We know his
Shaft.
Yeah.
We know his competition just loves a good slave movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do we want Scorsese to do a slave movie? What type of black?
No,
movie? No, no, not a slave movie. Have to do a slave it doesn't movie. Have to be. It's not.
He
a
goes
slave
for movie. Oscars, and I'm sorry, that's the only.
But you're not going to tell me that in all of these, all of these stories that Martin Scorsese King has Richard? Directed, that there's not a role somewhere for more black roles and black stories and black people in those times. Like, there's definitely. I understand the whole mafia and all of those stories and things like that, but we're not going to act like there weren't black people. I mean, you could have had, Scorsese could have did a great fucking film on Vegas and how the mafia built Tupac. Vegas and have fucking, you know, a Sammy Davis role in the movie by now. He could have did that. He could have did a Rat Pack movie by now. You know what I'm saying?
Done Black Wall Street. It.
Not saying, you know, I'm not trying
Casino.
To. Well, yeah, that's my point. But there were black people in those times in Vegas. So why not have that story tied in there somewhere too with Quincy Jones and Frank Sinatra? Like, I don't know. I just think that there's room for those stories in a Martin Scorsese film. That's all. That's all I'm saying. It's just something I know about.
Top three Michael songs.
Top three Michael songs.
In order.
For me?
Yeah, in order. That's tough. I want in order.
In order. Okay. For me.
Starting from three.
Okay. Rock With You.
Fuck yeah.
Smart. Number one. Number two.
Don't matter to me, Drake, Michael Jackson.
Oh.
What?
That's a sleeper pick.
He said, don't matter to me, Drake, Michael Jackson.
No. Number two, Human Nature.
Okay.
Wow.
Number three.
This is number one where you're getting at now.
Okay, this is number one?
Yeah.
Oof.
It's hard. Tough to you pick still have Mike. Thriller, Billie Jean on the
a
table.
Oh, damn. Smooth, yeah, you got a
criminal,
lot. I'm actually surprised about Human Nature.
Yet Enough, Pretty Young Thing.
God.
Black or White, Bad.
Keep going.
Off the Wall, Keep Beat going. It.
Mm.
I mean.
I'm trying to think of my favorite Mike.
Rory, going to choose all white Michael Jackson?
I got to go Billie. You got to go Billie Jean, number one.
Yeah.
Go Billie Jean.
Sometimes
for you,
it's not bad to lean into
for
the
you.
Classic. Yeah.
For gotta you.
Go Billie Jean.
The Torontians are not
only because happy only because this. I remember being a kid seeing that video and I remember like just staring at the TV like, yo, this is some of the coolest shit. He's walking and his sidewalk is lighting up. Like, that was to me.
Were you holding shit. The antennas while trying to?
No, we had color TV.
You were changing the sheets on the colors.
Oh, we had a clear TV. But to me, that Billie Jean was because I remember even when seeing Mike when he first performed Billie Jean at a
big moment.
I forgot which show that was, but that was like when Mike became the solo superstar that he became to be. It was like, okay, no, Mike is, he's a superstar. It was the Jackson 5, but Billie Jean, his performance, his first performance as doing Billie Jean, that was when Mike became Mike.
Was it at the 1993 Super Bowl?
No.
Way before that. What?
Sorry.
Yeah.
No, this was the 80s. This might have been 86.
It was, 87. It was actually 83.
In Germany?
No, it was an award show here in America.
He did Motown 25.
Ah, yes.
Motown 25.
He did Motown 25. It was May 16, 1983.
It was 83?
Yep.
83. Okay, so I'll remember seeing it in like 86. I was young.
Rory, what are your top three?
Starting from three? Yeah. So your lowest
one.
Butterflies at three, maybe?
Hipster.
Butterfly. That's fucking, that's not even Mike. That's, what's the group?
Flowetry.
Yeah,
but Mike did a great version.
Yeah, I'm gonna need you to do like
that's Marshall. That's not Mike.
Okay,
Marshall.
Billie Jean, Dirty Diana. Like, I'm trying
name
to
name Michael's song.
Great record.
I was gonna go Man in the Mirror number two.
Okay,
that's and cool. Human Nature number one.
Wow.
Also, why can't I have Butterflies at number three?
Because it's not a Michael.
I'm 33 years old.
But it's not.
That was the last like real Michael Jackson song, unless you count this.
Butterflies. Oh yeah, well that was the big hit off of that album.
Ready, easy. Beat It.
Yo.
Thriller. Rock With You.
Pause. All three.
All three.
You play Rock With You in the club, they still go off to that?
Hell yeah. Wonderful song.
That's good to know.
Amazing song.
Don't Stop Till You Get Enough is in mine.
Could have been a hipster of like Human Nature with the SWV remix. Like blended.
Great record. I'm mad at that. Great fucking record.
Julian?
Don't stop till you get it. I just love
you. Look that. Like you like the Free Willy soundtrack.
Here we one. Go.
You definitely cried. Yo, Julian, you definitely cried when Willie made the leap over that wall. You cried. Don't tell me you didn't cry when Willie jumped over the wall and he made it back to the ocean.
Yeah, bro. Stop.
You cried.
Free Willie. Shit.
All right, my bad.
And now that we know that like killer whales can just sink ships at will, like he was being mad dramatic jumping over those rocks.
Yeah.
He could have just went around.
Yeah.
You just want to ruin movies, huh?
We didn't know at the time that killer whales could just like, you know,
jump.
Hit a rudder and just.
Yeah, we didn't know that.
Because like, why are you some jumping over that to escape? Just go around.
Some of the strongest animals in the ocean. We didn't know.
Run right into it.
Yeah. Knock it over. Yeah.
You can end this whole shit.
Yeah. Right. You can be free, sir.
Yeah, bro. Choose your destination.
You look like you like Liberian Girl.
Sorry, what?
I love Liberian Girl. That video was
fire. Because you're
Liberian. Yeah.
Scorsese could have never done that one.
No, never.
Who did that one? That had everyone ever in it. You look like you don't know what Liberian Girl is.
I love how when it came time for me to pick my three songs, you guys were just chastising.
I'm sorry.
You look like Free Willy. That's fucked up.
No, it's not. He led with that energy. I tried to say I like butterflies, and you immediately shitted on me.
Because when he did, when he started hitting
me. He said it. I jumped on his.
Yo, you a rat.
Yo,
you just pointed at me like that. I'm just sitting here chilling. How you going to just call me out like that? That's crazy.
I was following what Maul, I was reciprocating Maul.
He was picking up what you put
down. All right, my bad. Everybody shut the fuck up. What's your top three, Mike?
Butterflies. No. don't stop till you get enough. Man pause. In the mirror. And I'll do Beat It.
And pause.
You like Man in the Mirror?
Look at Julian.
Why is that?
You don't like Man in the Mirror?
Thank you.
I love you, but not top three Mike songs.
Why?
Top three?
You never cried a Man in the Mirror.
It's one of the greatest ballads of all time.
It's a great record, but top three. I don't know if that's
an emotional ass record.
Yeah. You look like you do this with your hair too.
In the shower, probably. Yeah.
100%.
Man in the Mirror in the shower is depressing as fuck.
OD.
Because like I got the glass shower, so you kind of get the reflection. So it's like the Man in the Mirror.
Do you curl up the ball in the shower when you listen to that?
You cry while the water's hitting your face, so you don't know that you're crying.
We've all done like the R&B video in the shower scene.
That's debatable.
Don't do that.
I have, just not Man in the Mirror.
Yeah, that's Man in the Mirror.
Yeah, Man in the
Mirror. Bad Bunny in the shower.
That's R&B, but okay.
Throw ass to bed.
It's not, so I told you that in confidence, but okay. Jesus.
All right, man.
Aren't you guys sharing a room on the road?
No.
Is that all he knows?
Thank God.
We're on the same floor. Yeah. I don't know if we share a wall.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think
for
so.
Your sake.
Yeah, for my sake.
What floor are you on?
Oh, we've left by now, right?
Yeah, no. No. Why is he doing this now?
I'm scared of the six. So yeah. They can narrow it
down.
I'm
good.
Oh,
yeah.
Six. Got you.
No, I'm on the eighth floor.
Yeah.
Six. Okay, got it. Do we have another voicemail? Or that was it.
Should we just do one more?
We could do one more.
No, why not?
We're in Canada.
Let's have some fun. Let's do some.
Yeah.
This is a good one, actually. Here we go.
No one said The Way You Make Me Feel. Love that song.
Oh, go ahead. What?
The Way You Make Me Feel? No one put that.
You could have said it, but you fucking said Butterfly.
I love Butterfly.
Yeah, okay. Both good.
Trip from Virginia. I was just calling to ask what's the craziest shit y'all have ever done in y'all's life that like you can't believe was fucking successful. I had to deliver my own baby because the midwife was 45 minutes late and my girl wanted to have an in-home birth with just us and the midwife.
Oh,
I was not trained. I had no idea what I was doing. The umbilical cord was ripped. I had no idea what that meant. Then my girl told me that if he bleeds like any blood out of it, he could die. So grab the clamps. I didn't know what a clamp for that was. So I'm fucking trying to find something. I don't know what it looks like. Crying, thinking my son's going to die when he's 13 seconds old.
God.
I'm about to take a shoelace out of a shoe and use that to tie it off. Finally, she finds the clamp. I clamp it off. The midwife shows up. He's 13 months old, perfectly healthy. I still can't believe that shit.
Yeah, well, damn.
That's crazy, right?
I don't really have anything to follow.
So the question was,
do you think he used like the clamp that you like close potato chips with? Like what?
Ooh, like a chip clamp?
What clamp did he use?
Yeah, I mean, that probably be better than taking a fucking
shoelace. That's some wild shit, though. That is fucking crazy.
What do you need to do to clamp? I don't understand what
the other side of the umbilical cord has like blood.
It was ripping, so he had to stop the blood from flowing through to like
from the placenta. It's like where all the nutrients is.
You could put like big league chew and like
Yeah, that's why he said that.
And they say you shouldn't even really cut the umbilical cord, period. But
wait, why not?
What's wrong with you?
Everything.
You never use gum to like clog a hole?
Not everything. For babies.
Umbilical cord?
Well, I mean, I have been in that. I'm not, as a man, I haven't been in that position.
That's some scary shit, though. Having to deliver your own baby?
Yeah, that is wild.
That sounds crazy.
Like, we think like making dinner is like tough.
Who?
Like men. No. Like, we had people coming over, you kind of like, I'm sorry, you know how to make a mean boiled salmon.
Sleep on my salmon.
Yeah. Couscous.
I mean,
he makes couscous?
I can tell by the jelly.
He's the only man I know that knows how to make couscous. What the fuck is couscous?
I was there saying, breathe.
But you went to hospital.
Yeah, but like I was there.
Yeah, but that don't count, man. This guy, he's a patron.
So, none of what we say can top him. But his question was like, what's the craziest thing that you've done successfully that looking back on you couldn't believe you were able to accomplish?
I thought delivering a baby in a hospital was there, but never mind.
No. The craziest thing I've ever done, and I can't believe I accomplished it.
What was her name?
No.
Is she verified?
Damn.
You gave her the check?
I'm trying to think, like, what? Nothing lands close to that, but I don't know if I have that type of story.
I was going to go with the album. It's not like a good story, answer. But yeah, like that was some crazy shit to me to actually like open my phone and be on DSPs like that. That was kind of crazy. I can be purchased. That was cool. Go download on Amazon and buy myself.
Yeah, that is dope though.
Yeah, I can give Bezo a cut of myself.
Yeah.
It was cool.
I think for me, it would probably be, I think Rory and I completing the live show run we did last year.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Oh, just you two?
Well, I mean, no, I'm not trying to exclude.
No, that's cool.
I'm not trying to exclude the team.
We're not in Toronto right now, about to do a live
show. You were the clamp. Like, you weren't the baby or you were the woman. That's
the most vital part.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
One of.
You weren't, no, the, cool, you weren't the you. Father, the daughter, the baby.
He was the baby.
He was the umbilical cord. You clamped him.
Yeah.
And you did not clamp me.
Like, us putting that together was.
That was fun.
It was fun, but it was scary, though. Because it was like, all right, what the fuck? I mean, me and Rory sat down and talked about it. He was like, all right, what the fuck are we doing? Like, how do we do this? And he was like, fuck it, let's just figure it out. So that was like scary because now you have people like standing in front of you.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh shit, this is real. But I mean, we found a way to do it and get it done. So it's pretty cool.
And while we're in the middle of tour, because to your guys' credit, it's not when people ask, oh, it's a live podcast, you just like sit and talk. No. I think that's the coolest thing about what you guys and like as a team have been able to collect to build is it's such a variety show that when people ask me the question, it's a long answer because we do so many segmented things that are well scripted, well executed, but also there's original elements in each show, which I think, you know, makes each experience unique. And I just think that that's just so far beyond what I've seen other podcasts that are in a position to tour. So few that are in this position. Normally they just pull up and just do literally a lot. If we were to do this on a stage, people would probably be satisfied with it, but we know we can offer more than just sitting and watching us entertain people.
And I mean, with the amount of cities that we did too, like
13,
we don't have like a hit record. Like, and I'm not trying to take away anything that musicians do when they're on tour.
Yeah.
But we don't have that one thing that the whole audience is like waiting for us to perform that we've rehearsed, that we know, like every show is completely different to some degree. Like,
it's easier when you're, well, I don't want to make it seem like that, but if I was a rapper, it would be easier to do that.
Think so?
Because I already know what I'm going to say every single night.
We don't have a set list. We have a run of show, of course, but those segments there.
But a lot of it is based off of the audience.
Yeah.
Projectors don't work.
The city that we're in.
Yeah.
Particular cities that we're in. So everything is just like constantly changing. And then, you know, we're backstage and, you know, Rory is already on his anxiety meter is on 1,000. So
how?
I gotta find a way.
What?
You don't see when Rory goes to the bathroom 20 times before we go on stage?
That's because I have a terrible bladder.
And he chugs a whole bottle of white wine before we go on.
Paces with the red cup.
Yeah.
Dead silence. I'm just talking to both of you and Rory just like.
Even my nephew in Atlanta. When we were in Atlanta, my nephew was like, yo, Rory's always nervous like this? And I was laughing.
No, it's not nerves. It's definitely.
I think it's excitement.
I don't get nervous. And I don't have really like crazy anxiety for these shows ever.
Ice veins.
It's just, I don't know how I prepare to.
I think you get excited.
It's like your Rain Man thing. Okay, I got you.
I haven't gotten like nervous for a show in quite some time. I think the only time I got nervous from our last tour was London. Really? When they told us fucking 10 minutes before.
No, that was crazy.
Go rock y'all a two-hour show with no projector, and your entire show is on a projector.
Bro, y'all know I keep saying it. Y'all don't know how pissed off I was in that.
Of course, I have the footage of that.
Nah, but you really don't know.
Atlanta was different too. That footage. I do more of the pacing thing when we have way too many people in the green room, and like I'm just not in that phase.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
I'm not in that phase in my life, and I get annoyed because I do want to focus on the show. And to your point, so much stuff is catered to each city, and there has to be some type of memorizing and some stuff we write in the green room to what's happening at the moment. I fucking can't stand when there's so many people in the green room and they want to talk.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dog, I have to go talk in a second. Mm-hmm. Like, not, I know that sounds crazy. Like it's some,
you're literally doing something. Yeah.
That's where I start pacing in green rooms. Cause I don't particularly care. Atlanta had like 30 people.
Oh my God. In the green room next to us, which was just a fucking smoke fest.
But in a weird way, y'all don't feel like that Atlanta green room was like made for like a great show though, because like we were kind of already in this phase
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so that it's important. Like we don't talk about the importance of having a good green room.
Oh, it's huge.
Before the show. Like a lot of people don't focus on that. Like a good green room, having the right people in there.
The music
just it adds to just your energy. It adds to your calmness. It adds to your preparation of going on stage in front of people and just delivering a good show and entertaining them. Because I remember that Atlanta green room, and I kind of felt like it was getting a little busy in there at one point.
Crazy.
But it was the right busy, though. Good. It was the right people in there. It was the right
energy. Julian's birthday.
We had a great time.
It was my birthday.
It was your birthday.
Wait, I wanted to ask while we're on the green room topic. Her Loss was the soundtrack to last year's tour. What's the soundtrack going to be this year? Do we know yet?
Because
I'm usually in charge of the thing. I'll play Her Loss.
We was in London when Her Loss came.
Yeah. But I'm saying that became every show from there on. We were just playing that in every green room.
Because when we were in Seattle, it was SZA.
That was the only other show where it wasn't Her Loss.
Yeah, before that it was all Her Loss. For sure.
From London, straight through the South, straight through wherever the else.
But wasn't London
Texas
run?
Texas, yeah. Mm-hmm.
London was towards the end, right?
November 4th was the London show. That's when Her Loss came out on November 4th.
Yep.
And I believe our show was on the 7th.
And when was Seattle?
That was December 1st, I think, because LA was December 13th.
We didn't get home till Christmas Eve.
We were out. We were outside for over a month.
Lit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So never doing that again. Is there a runaway?
Never doing that again, by the way.
Is there a runaway?
Come on. We know what it is.
This one?
Yeah.
We know. I mean,
I'll play Her Loss again.
We know what it is.
I don't think it could be for the dogs.
No, it can't be. Because we're not all, we don't all feel the same way about it.
Yeah.
Not Utopia.
Definitely not Utopia.
No, not Utopia.
Thought it'd be different.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not mad at that, though.
I'm not mad at that either.
Thought it'd be different.
I'm not mad at that. Dog.
We could, yeah.
I'm not mad at that.
You don't seem very convinced.
But if we had a backup.
No, because the thing, Rory's album's incredible. It actually, Apple gave me an upgrade on my most played music recently, and it was on my top 5 most played albums.
It's good for you. I'm not going to show you my top 5.
Yeah, I mean,
but I don't want to see it.
just like my girl's phone, I don't want to see it.
In a green room, I don't want
everything's going fine. I don't want to cause problems.
I don't want like an up and down. I want it to just be constant.
But what album were you going to name though?
Because I was just going to say Her Loss again. I just want to run that by you guys.
You can't run it back again.
No, not
that's gonna be new.
It was so good.
No, it was. It was. But we got to do something new.
What was the last good album?
That's a great question.
That came out. Don't do that.
There's a lot of good albums that came out, but we're talking about
but what's a green
in the
room
scene
album?
Of a green room. What would be a good album?
And we all know it. That's the thing. All of us have to be a fan and fuck with this album.
That's tough.
I think we're going to just have to make a playlist.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah.
I can make a playlist.
Yeah.
Maul and I would say the last Magic Nas album, but you guys don't like
Magic
that.
3, yeah.
It was all right.
See, I, nah.
But
that's fine.
You don't like Magic 3?
I just...
Speaking of this music debate, I want to get into ATL Jacob's tweets on Patreon. So let's do that.
Do that.
Yeah, I want to.
You want to do that?
Yeah. Patreon?
Let's Patreon.
All right. Well, we'll see y'all on Patreon. We're about to have this ATL Jacob because that was a wild take he said.
That's my guy.
Even though Julian agrees with him, but that was a wild take. But
I'll
like
play contrary.
But I like ATL Jacob, so I do. I'll talk about it because I do like him. I think he's talented. I think he's
I do agree with him actually. Fuck that.
Yeah. So let's finish it on Patreon.
Yep.
No worrying mouth.
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you.
So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7. So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7. So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.